2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Everybody there? The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack." Let me read that again. "The Lord is not slack. The Lord is not slack. The Lord is not slack." Now, I'm not stuck in neutral, but I wanted you to get that. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. The word slack, it means negligent or careless. But the Bible tells us when it comes to the Lord, the Lord is not slack. He's not negligent. He's not careless. When God says something, He means it. When God gives you a promise, it's not a slack promise. Now, man is slack. Man has a tendency sometimes to be careless, to be negligent. But the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. I like that. His promise. Notice it's singular here, so it's dealing with one thing, and that's the fact He's coming back one day. Now, don't ever worry whether God means that or not, because I can tell you He means it. He's coming back in somebody's lifetime. But the Lord's not slack when it comes to that concerning His promise, that man is slack. The Bible says the Lord is long-suffering. Means He's not slack concerning patience. He's long-suffering. That takes care of this wicked doctrine called Calvinism, that God only selects certain people to be saved and the others to die and go to hell. That's wrong. And the fact that He's long-suffering means He puts up and you can depend on Him. He's long-suffering when it comes to His patience. Means He tolerates for a long, long time. This word Calvinism, I get so sick and tired of it, I was kind of jumped on about, maybe 8, 9 months ago by somebody in the leadership role of the Southern Baptist, because I brought it up about Calvinism. That's such a wicked doctrine. They got mad at me. They said, "You should never say that, because a lot of the pastors believe in Calvinism. And those people love their pastor like your people love you." You know, nobody ever questioned that. But they don't want you to say nothing about a doctrine where the Lord, they say, we teach that God gives everybody a chance to be saved. That God doesn't select certain people to be saved and certain people to die and go to hell. Now, Calvinism, if you've never heard of that, is a very wicked doctrine that God is a selective God. But the Bible says God is long-suffering. Now, I was nice about it. I never argued or anything like that. I should have, but I didn't, because I wasn't in charge. But, again, that's what happens sometimes. You're not supposed to say nothing, preacher. You might offend a brother if you talk about Calvinism. Well, I'm just, I may offend. That's the way it goes. Amen? Now, when God makes a promise, it is not slack. You can count on it. For example, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, you don't have to turn. But the Bible says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's a promise. God's not slack. When God says you're passed from death unto life, you can mark that down as you are going to pass from death unto life. Now, what I want to look at is things that are slack. And this is where you'll recognize some of the points maybe of years ago. But there are some things, many things that are slack. For example, number one, the United States government is slack. Amen? Amen? In other words, politicians will make promises for you to vote for them. You ever notice that? They'll make you every promise in the book. If you vote for me, I promise you this. Then you wonder why they don't keep their promises, because they're slack. Politicians are slack, and the U.S. government is slack. You can't count on politicians. You can't count on most of the government. And I say there may be a few good ones out there. I'm not saying every one of them are bad, but you check the majority of them. They say something or make you a promise most of the time. You can't count on it. Amen? You say, Brother Paul, don't you love the American way? I certainly do. I still think the United States of America is the greatest country that one could ever go to. Now, they're trying to mess it up some, but I wouldn't love our country. Amen? I still believe it's a great country, but the government is slack. Proof, they'll even try to cheat to win an election. Amen? They'll try to cheat to get their man in as the President of the United States. I've never seen anything like this before, cheating in the gut to try to win an election. I thought our country was beyond that. But I'm finding out that when the Bible talks about slackness, we got it in the government, folks. They'll cheat, they'll do whatever they have to do to try to get what they want. Something else is slack. Money is slack. It is, you can't count on it. Now, I'm not against money, but I'm against what it does to people. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? And I'm not against it. God uses money. He uses money to get the things that are needed for a church. I show how good God is. He says, look, I'll let you get your salary. Out of your 100% salary, you just give me 10%. You can keep the other 90%. That's pretty good. Amen? I mean, that's how God looks at money. He says, just give me 10%, and I'll go ahead and use it for my glory. But people will slave for money. Do you ever notice that? They'll literally slave for money. Then when you get it, what do you have? I don't know, I ain't got none. Yeah? So I don't know very much about it. Hey, money, church, is slack. It'll mess you up. You know, people even that runs into money, they inherit a lot of money, or maybe they win a jackpot of a lot of money. You think that's going to make them happy? They end up being sad. They end up being hurt eventually because money is slack. Amen? Number three, I'm leading to something. Something else that's slack. Jobs and employments. For example, for years, your boss can call you by your first name and say, man, you're just the greatest worker. You're something, man. I've had you for all of these years, and I want you to know I'm thankful that you work for me. And for 20 years, he can call you by your first name and just bless you and compliment you. Then 20 years later, give you a pink slip. You say, why? Because employment many times is slack. You say, well, Brother Paul, and I've been there so long, they can't do without me. When you were born, you know, when that doctor picked you up and hung you upside down, they must have slapped the back of your head, the wrong part. Amen? Slapped the wrong part. Because if you think for one moment there that you can't lose your job or something like that is impossible to happen, I want you to know that you're trusting something that's slack. Amen? You say, well, Brother Paul, they need me. You better watch it. I don't care if the boss is a man or the boss is a woman. You can't trust employments. But the Lord is not slack. When God makes a promise, you can depend on it. Amen? Watch it now, church. You can't depend on man. You cannot depend on money. You cannot depend on employments. You can't depend on the government. But there's one that you can depend on. That's your Heavenly Father. Amen? He will never let you down. He will never cheat you. He'll always do what He says. Amen? Something else you can't depend on is slack. And I hate to say this, but sometimes friends are slack. Amen? You know, nothing hurts worse than the betrayal of a friend. You know that? I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in churches where people are the best of friends. And they get along real good. And all of a sudden, something happened in that relationship that caused a betrayal to that relationship. And all of a sudden, you find out how slack friendship can be. But the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 to have no confidence in the flesh. Amen? Everybody in here is a human being. Everybody in here has flesh. And everybody in here is capable of hurting someone else. There's one, however, that sticketh closer than a brother. You know who that is. Amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He sticketh closer than a brother. Once in a while, you'll be fortunate in this life. Watch it now. Once in a while, you'll have a good friend that'll stick closer than a brother. And I don't see it happen often. But if you've been blessed sometime in your life to have one true friend that has never turned their back on you, well, then you've got a rarity because it doesn't happen very often. But I can tell you one thing, there is one that sticketh closer than a brother. And your Heavenly Father, when you got saved, He will never be slack with you. He'll never turn His back on you because Jesus Christ is not slack. Amen? Remember that friend of yours is still flesh. Amen? You want to know how rotten your flesh is? Just leave the right guard off for a day. Amen? And you'll find out, amen, just how rotten that flesh is. Your flesh will fail you. Why? Because it is slack. Our Heavenly Father is not slack. When He says something, it's so. But human beings sometimes are slack. They're negligent. They're careless sometimes. They may not realize it, but the Bible says have no confidence in the flesh. Y'all with me so far? I know this is similar to a years ago sermon, but I'm leading to something. Number five, that leads to something else. That's slack. I hate to tell you this, but that, yourself. In other words, you are slack, and you may not want to realize it. Be careful, you can't trust you. Amen? You can't trust you. You are made out of something that is called flesh. And by the way, all flesh is made out of the same stuff. Amen? I mean, take a good look at your flesh. Look at it. Every one of us is made out of the same stuff, you know? Look at that. Look at it. Same stuff here. Yep. Look at that. We're made out of the same stuff. Mine might be a little darker than yours, but we're made out of the same stuff. Amen? Absolutely there. Amen? Well, you don't have any Arab flesh. Huh? Amen? Makes it a little bit darker, but I want you to know there that we all are made out of the same slack stuff, which is called the flesh. Amen? So you can't depend on self. You might try, but you can't do that. Amen? No matter what, that flesh is slack. You might be Italian, might have a little bit of that. You might have a little bit of French. It doesn't make any difference. When you get right down to it, church, flesh is made out of the same stuff and flesh is slack. Amen? Y'all with me so far? We men, you know, I was thinking about this when I was putting this message together. We kind of got it made. You say, what do you mean? In the morning when we wake up, what do? Normally we go and brush our teeth and maybe take a shower and do what we got to do. Brush our hair. That's it. What you see is what you get, ladies. Amen. There's not a whole lot that we have to do to ourselves to make ourselves look good. Women try so hard. Amen. I'm talking about they get the makeup and they try so hard to look really, really nice. And I'm not against makeup. I'm for makeup. Amen. Thank God for makeup. But I hate to think the pressure that most ladies are under, trying their best to look really nice for that selfish man that wakes up and doesn't do anything to make himself look good. Amen? But ladies, it's a little bit a different story. Amen? Now, you know, makeup is good, but don't overdo it. Amen. I was thinking there when I was putting this message together, you know, when we were youngsters, we always used to like to go, we take out a girl on a date, we'd like to go to what they call the drive-in theater. We're all old enough for that. And, you know, you look forward there to maybe missing part of the movie, you know, and for a little kiss or whatever. But I remember this one girl had that took out for the first time was loaded with makeup. Amen. I didn't tell you about it, honey, but I mean, then this wasn't you. I was real young then, you know, and but this gal had on her lips, the makeup was so thick, and the on her lips was thick lipstick. And I was saying, what am I going to get if I get a kiss? And all of a sudden, that gal decided she's going to show me and grab me and planted one on me so hard. And I mean, after the kiss was through, I felt like on my mouth was full of lipstick.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, I got her lipstick on me. Amen. Amen. That's pretty good, baby. All right. Amen. But it's true. I mean, don't overdo it. Amen. I'm telling you. Your flesh, watch it now, will deceive you. You look in the mirror, and if you're 60 years old, your flesh will tell you you look like you're 30. Watch it now, man. Or that little gal on the job. Remember, you've heard me say this before, but that little gal on the job, here you are about 45 years old, and she said, you know something, you really look like you're 25. And think about it, you believe her. You think she's telling you the truth. The truth is, if you're 45, you don't look like you're 25. Amen?
Amen.
I get some amens out of this sermon. That's good. But women are just as bad as men when it comes to this thing of the flesh and, you know, acting. Everybody wants to look younger or act younger, you know. And I've seen it. You men know what I'm talking about. You'll see the way 45 and 50-year-old women, you know, I can't walk like one, but they'll be real tight and they'll still. They do, you know, that little bit of a wiggle like that. And they're trying to show the merchandise at the age of 50, amen? But they're trying to act like they're 20, 25 years old. Y'all with me so far? I'm not good at walking like that. All you ladies, then you're right. You can't walk like we do, amen? Women know how to walk when it comes to certain ways of walking, amen? But there's so many ways that you can mislead somebody or you try to make your flesh be better than what it is. But remember, the flesh is slack. It'll fool you. It'll make you think you're something. And the flesh will exaggerate itself because the flesh is careless, amen? But there's so many ways to cuss somebody out. Now, hang on, y'all. I've noticed y'all beginning to listen. But there's so many ways to cuss somebody out. The first one, I've never used this one before, but it's called the stink eye. You say, what is that? You ever notice that somebody, if they're mad, just look at you. And you can't see my mouth, but it's from. That's called the stink eye. They're cussing you, you no good, dirty. That's a stink eye. You say, where'd you hear from it? I heard that from Candace, my, amen. My niece. She said, that's the first time I've ever heard of the stink eye. And I guess there's other names for it. That's, you know, Candace Braswell Cunningham. But before she got married, you know, she'd talk about people give you the stink eye. Now, I realize what it is. I've had a bunch of people give me the stink eye in their car. Amen. There have been a few in the church giving me the stink eye. Amen. Especially if they didn't like something I was preaching. At least most of you are laughing. Amen. Then, of course, there's another way to cuss somebody. You've heard it before, and it's called horn cussing. Amen. You know, there you honk that horn when you get mad at somebody that stops right in front of you at a red light, and then they're texting somebody and won't go when it turns green, and you honk and honk, and you're not telling them I'd like for you to come to church Sunday. I guarantee you. Amen. That's called horn cussing. But the problem, church, amen, is slackness. There's so many things that are slack. My Bible tells me the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. But we, as men and women, we find ourselves are slack. One more thing, and then I'll get to something else. Your health sometimes is not a guarantee. Amen? You can feel healthy and you can feel good. You can go on for a few months and not have any kind of sickness at all. Then all of a sudden, something happens and you get sick, and you may be healthy right now. But one day, church, you and I are still going to end up with Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen? Now, you say, well, preacher, I'm a healthy man. Yeah, a hoss, you may be healthy now, but that's only for a little while. Amen? It doesn't last forever. But I'm trying to tell you that your health can be slack. I mean, a lot of folks that are healthy right now in a couple of months are not going to be as healthy as they are now. You will say, why? Because health is slack. Amen. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's perfect and He never messes up one time. And when the Lord says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. You all with me so far? Amen on that. Thank God. I believe you're understanding the sermon. But there are some things that are slack. Now, let's look at things the Lord is not slack on. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:19, you don't have to turn. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Amen. Hey, if you're saved, you've been born again. You've been washed in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows you. God knows that you're saved. And the Lord is not slack when it comes to those that are saved. Amen? Amen. My Bible tells me in Matthew 7:23 that if God ever said, I never knew you, you better watch out for that. He's not slack about that either. The Bible says that if a person is not saved, then one day he's going to say, I never knew you. You don't want that. You want to be known by your Heavenly Father. You want to be known by the fact that you are saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord is not slack when it comes to what He knows. Amen? The world knows who belongs to them, and God knows who belongs to Him. Amen? I mean, the world knows who belongs to them. I mean, the scuttlebutt knows who's going to go there. Getting quiet again. The beer box knows who's going to go there. Max's knows who's going to go there. And Hooters knows who's going to go there. I was talking to Lori about Hooters the other day, you know, and she said, well, you know, a lot of folks consider that a good place to eat. I said, well, they must not be the men. I'm talking about there's not a man in here, if they go to Hooters, are going to keep their eyes focused on that steak that they're going to get or whatever. Amen. See what I mean? There's a lot of other interesting things at Hooters that attract the eye of a man. Amen. Unless they're perfect. And I know you. You ain't perfect. You're slack. All of us are slack when it comes to things like that. But I'm trying to tell you there, ladies and gentlemen, that the world knows who belongs to them. But God knows who belongs to them, and God knows who's going to come to church on Sunday. God knows whether you're enjoying the old-fashioned preaching or not this morning. God knows what you are going to do tomorrow when you go have your regular day for yourself. God knows you. God knows if you're slack, and He knows that if you are a human being, you are slack. You're not perfect, and we need to always recognize that the Lord is not slack, but we are slack sometimes. Amen? Now, what constitutes salvation is who you trusted as your Savior. If you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone and nobody else, amen, then you're saved. And God knows you. God knows who you are. And if you're saved, you belong to Him. If there was a day when you not joined the church, not got religion, not turned over a new leaf, but there was a day in your life when you realized you were a sinner and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, God knows you. And when God saved you, He's not slack. Amen?
Amen?
As some men count slackness. Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
All right. There's something else. The Bible tells us in Romans 2:2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Did you see that? We're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Now, God's judgments are not slack. Now, one day, you and I are going to get rewarded for our works. God ain't going to mess up. God's going to reward every one of us in here for the works we've done for Him since we have been saved. Amen? He's not talking about works for salvation. He's talking about works since you've been saved. What have you done for the Lord since you've been saved? What have you done for Him? Have you given Him some of your time? Have you given Him some of your desires, your goals, the works that you've done since you've been saved? Have you done it for the glory of God? I'm talking about God knows of what you do and why you do it. And God is going to reward men and women for their works, and He won't be slack on it. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible talks about that, where He'll reward us for our works. Number three, here's another one. 2 Timothy 2:5. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one go-between, church. There's only one mediator. There's only one that you can pray through. Amen? It ain't the Pope. It's not the priest. It's not the rabbi. Not the Baptist preacher. No, none of those out there. None of those are mediators going between. God has given us one mediator to reach Him, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is not slack when it comes to Him being our mediator. He's not slack. He's not irresponsible. He's not careless about it. God knows when you and I pray, there's only one way for you and I to reach the Heavenly Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And no one can take that away from you because it is not slack. It's a promise of God. One mediator. One mediator between God and man. The man. Amen? The man, Christ Jesus. And you can depend on Him. All right, number four. Here's another one He's not slack on. You're familiar with it. 1 John 1:9. The Bible says that the Lord... If we confess our sins, I'll get here. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not slack to forgive us when we confess our sins to Him. You know something? There's some of you in this room, you've sinned this past week and you want to give up. You say, I just can't. I try and I try and I mess up and I mess up. Let me tell you something. God wants to hear from you. And when you mess up and when you sin, don't you give up. You go to your Heavenly Father because God wants to forgive you. And God is not tired of forgiving you. You say, well, Brother Paul, how come He's not tired? Because the Lord is not slack when it comes to forgiveness. He's not slack. He keeps His promise. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, watch it now, from all unrighteousness. That don't sound like a slack God to me. That's a promising God. Amen. And then number five, the Bible tells us a couple things I put together here. Of course, you've heard Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Church, there's no slackness there. One day, it'll be our turn. We all get a turn one day to pass away. And what you've done with Jesus Christ is what's going to make a difference. Because we're all going to go through that one. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that we are confident. I say willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Isn't that great? You get that. You say, preacher, why? Because the Lord is not slack. Amen? He's not negligent. He's not careless. When God makes you a promise, absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, honey, you hang on to that one. Sir, you hang on to that one because it's real and God's not going to change His mind about that. Amen? Boy, I tell you, I'm so glad that's the kind of Father that we have. I know the first part of these sermons, we had some laughs and stuff of slackness. But I promise you, the Lord is not slack. He keeps a promise. He does not mess up. He never breaks His word because He's God, and only God can do that. Amen? If you're here today and you say, preacher, there's some things in my life that I've messed up on, and what do I do? This is what I said a while ago. You bring them to the Lord. Ask God to forgive you. That's what the old altar is about. If you need to pray right there where you're standing, that's fine. If you want to get saved, though, you say, I've never been saved. Well, you come forward and tell me, amen? You just come and tell me, I want to get saved, and God will save you. Amen? Let's pray.